Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in right paths for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Now, I know I've told this story before about my very first church in Austin, Texas. And during the summer, we partnered with a local Hispanic church to do summer school in that neighborhood. They kind of were the foundation for a vacation Bible school, and then churches came in every week to help with snacks and program and extra volunteers, and my church went, and I was in charge of telling the Bible story. Well, that's a lovely idea, but you know, I don't speak Spanish, so I came up with another way of telling them. It's a way to do stories kind of off of a Montessori model. You tell them slowly, and you have figures, and it's almost meditative, and I would say a piece, and then someone would translate. And they were a wonderful way to do stories, and I did them 1 year, and I came back the next year, and I did them again. And I came into the vacation Bible school, and a little boy, a little older than Sydney, said, "It's good to see you again. Do you remember me?" And I'm thinking, really? I don't even know what I ate this morning. And I said, "Yeah." Because I knew God remembered that boy. And he said, "I'm glad you're back." And he said, "I'm waiting for my story." And so I told those stories the same way for 4 days. And then finally he said, "I haven't heard my story." I said, "Which one is that?" And he said, "The Good Shepherd story." And I realized this boy had remembered me telling the story once. And he remembered it for a year. And I said, "Tell me why that story was important to you." And he said, "Well, my parents divorced this year, and things were unhappy. There was a lot of yelling, and I would get scared sometimes. And when that would happen, I would remember you telling the story of the Good Shepherd, and I was one of the sheep. I went there in my imagination." And I thought, oh. So I retold that story the next day. I wasn't ready for it. It wasn't in my lesson plan, but I retold it for him. Because I realized that story had got kind of embedded in him, the Psalm 23, and it had become a comfort and a strength for him. And I thought, that's the power of this psalm, of many of the psalms. I mean, the first verse is, "The Lord is my shepherd." The shepherd whose job it is to provide and to protect the flock, to find them pasture, to lead them in right ways, to fend off the things that are dangerous. It has this sense of our God being one who watches us, who knows for us, that cares for the flock of God's people, not just the ones in this church, not the ones we know, but all of God's people. And then there's that second verse about green grass and the best water to drink. I looked at a sermon I preached years ago, and I read that I had said green grace. It was a typo. I'm an idiot. But I thought something, green grace is right. It's the, there'll be enough to eat, that you get to relax in the green meadows where you're not worried about anything, and there's an abundance of water. The third verse that talks about restoring our souls, being refilled, breathing easy once again. And then that powerful next verse that talks about You lead me in the ways of righteousness. You lead me in your path. There is a sense that you don't stay in the green grass and the vacation water again forever. You keep on moving and you keep following after the Good Shepherd who we have come to know as Jesus. Then there's that sense of God being with us in the darkest valley, or maybe the way you learned to say it, through the valley of the shadow of death. That even in the dark times, I will not be afraid. You are with me. There's a sense of the shepherd being with us side by side. And what it says is we know there are those dark times. I mean, that's a given. But we are not alone. Even when we don't feel it and believe it, maybe we say these words till we get through that time. I remember a pastor friend I had who was in California when the 9/11 and the towers were destroyed and came down. And she couldn't be with her congregation. And she was making frantic phone calls as she could. And there was one family whose father had died. And they held off telling the little boy until the pastor got home. They just wanted the pastor there. And she got to that apartment as soon as she could get back. And she went and talked to the son. And she said, "How are you?" And he said, "Well, everyone's been asking me that. Everyone's been saying that my father is lost." She breathed in, and the boy went on, "But I know my father isn't lost. I know he's with God in heaven." See, that boy got it. "And how do you know that?" said the pastor. And the boy said, "My father is never lost." It's that sense of being known by God in the darkest valley. And then we have that meal of Thanksgiving. It's like the best potluck ever. And for me, it would be lots of pimento cheese sandwiches and Bob's donuts and deviled eggs. It's whatever is the richest, that there is enough for everyone. It's like the table overflows, and it's my friends and the people I don't love, maybe in God's richness and love, are there too. I mean, it's a powerful image that there is enough for everyone. When the Hebrews heard this story for the first time, they knew what it meant because they knew about shepherds. I mean, me, really, what do I understand about sheep? Absolutely nothing. Now, I have learned when they heard this word about a shepherd, they knew what it meant. They knew that it was hard to be the sheep in some way because they were afraid to keep the belief that God was really leading them to green pastures or to good things and mercy. They frequently kind of would rush after other paths and go to other pastures and look for easy ways out. In that day, they even looked for promising paths towards more manageable gods to lead them in kind of ways away from trouble. And yet, it never quite worked that way. They would return to the Good Shepherd to worship, where they would hear the story again and again. Their story and our story is one of being lost and being found, of being judged and forgiven, of sent away and being brought home. I've told you that I had a congregation member who said he didn't like much being called a sheep. He wasn't flattered by that. He would have wanted to be an eagle for the Lord. I think he would have been a llama would have been better than a sheep. But the truth is, we are kind of like sheep. We're kind of easily frightened. We forget things. We are frequently lost in need of a shepherd. We too get confused. Have you ever really noticed in your own life, not always, but sometimes when you get scared, when you panic, when you mess up, when it feels like you have been betrayed, when you get that call on your phone that says, "Call the doctor immediately," that it isn't like we're paralyzed by fear. We kind of run like crazy. We just keep moving sometimes. I think it's Rollo May who said, humans are the strangest of all God's creatures because they run the fastest when they have lost their way. I hear this psalm saying, it's in the running that we get in trouble. It's in the feeling that we're lost that we make our worst mistake, because we're like terrified sheep. We lose sight of whose we are and who we're created to be. We forget the voice of the one who calls us and wants to bring us home. And yet here's the psalm saying, you are mine, follow in my ways. Much of the power of the psalm is admitting life is difficult, and we will get lost and frightened. But there is a shepherd who watches over us, that knows the sheep by name. And we come to this church to learn to follow the voice of the one who calls us, to recognize that voice, to follow that way, to turn towards God. And so I pulled out this psalm this week because there's so much going on in the world. In the Supreme Court that gave all of God's people the right to marry in 50 states. That is no small feat. And you at Old First Presbyterian Church have been working towards that wholeness for 20 and 30 years. And now we are reminded that it's God calling all the sheep, and just not the sheep we like or the sheep we know, all have the right to love fully. And so I'm thrilled and a bit chagrined, because, you know, I used to be the pastor who could marry folks that were gay and lesbian and all that, but now everyone can, so I got to get over myself. Really? Because no one wants to hear, I did it way before. It's like, get over it, Maggie. There is joy for all God's people here. And I wonder, how do we realize that the work is not yet done yet? How do we find out where God could be calling us and leading us next? Where is God's passion and justice for Old First Presbyterian Church? I don't know. It's going to be exciting to see. I also picked this passage because I'm going to Scotland to be a pastor at another church, and you know, I'm a little frightened. I mean, I know there's scripture and people, but I don't know what I'm getting myself into. And it's been about 10 years since I've done that, since I came to you all for the first time. And I kind of got some of you, but I'm going to a new place, so I'm a little scared. So I'm remembering that God is my shepherd there, and maybe I can stop thinking I'm in charge. Huh? Maybe I can learn from the people there. Maybe by not assuming my way is the only way, God may be able to come in and feed me some. I mean, I'm going to learn what makes a full table there. How do they work with God's people and bring righteousness and justice in Glasgow, Scotland? I mean, this church, St. Andrew's Parish East, from what I know, it's a church that has gotten small, and their pastor says they will try anything because they have nothing to lose. Well, what an interesting way to be. Maybe we could get that attitude without having to get so desperate, but maybe we're going to learn from her, and I will learn from her. So I ask you to pray for me when I am gone, and that you kind of drink in this pastor you have for 6 weeks, Barbara Quigley. And it may mean you have to pay a little attention. You know, she has an accent, I hear, in Scotland. And so you may have to be really attentive to her words in a sermon. And she may do things differently than we are. And you know, it's going to make us itch. But I hear that sometimes when you itch and when you change, God can get in a new ways. So we get to ask her questions. And she gets to teach us, and we get to learn from each other. So that's your gift and challenge. And the truth is, the God of love, the God of mercy, the God of hope, the God in the dark times, the God in the light times will be with us all. And we'll remember it's not all about Old First Presbyterian Church in San Francisco. We get to remember that God is the God of all people, and God's flock is bigger than we imagine. So take this psalm during the summer and trust and find comfort and strength in your own lives and what lies ahead. Learn to live in a way of thanksgiving and expectation. For the God of the Good Shepherd is our God. This God knows us by name. So come, fellow sheep, let's not run like we're scared, but let's follow the Good Shepherd this summer and all the days of our life. Amen.